Going to read with us this morning. Going to read some out of the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers, the 13th chapter. Thirteenth chapter. We're going to start with the first verse. You just bear with us. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one, a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And these were their names: of the tribe of Reuben, Shammua, the son of Zachor; of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori; of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh; of the tribe of Issachar, Igal, the son of Joseph; of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshea, the son of Nun; of the tribe of Benjamin, Palti, the son of Rephu; of the tribe of Zebulun, Gadiel, the son of Sodi; and of the tribe of Joseph, namely, of the tribe of Manasseh, Gadi, the son of Susi; of the tribe of Dan, Amiel, the son of Jamali; of the tribe of Asher, Sether, the son of Michael; of the tribe of Naphtali, Naba, the son of Vasi; and of the tribe of Gad, Juel, the son of Micah. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, which we call Joshua. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be a good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether it in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, Talmon, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. They came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Now that's all I'm going to read this morning. I don't know altogether what we're going to do. We've got a thought. We'd like to be able to get ourselves out of the way and try to deliver that we feel the Lord's laid on our hearts. Some wonderful scripture. About the children of Israel before they had ever went into Canaan. And as we read unto you there this morning, I want you to just bear with us. I'm going to take my time, so you just pray. There's something in that of seemingly what we have if we'll just trust the Lord and let Him have His way. They knowed nothing about the land of Canaan. And they were to find out what kind of a land it was. It says, whether it be good, whether it be bad, where the people dwell in tents or in strongholds, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be any wood in it. But he said, bring back some of the fruit of the land. Now, I'm not going to preach on that this morning. We've got just one thought, one word, and not a whole lot to go with it, but nonetheless, it's what we got. But I won't talk this morning, the Lord being our helper, about strongholds. Strongholds. We may think, well, preacher, then don't mean a whole lot today. Well, probably a lot more than you think. But nonetheless, it's what I have. I really don't know altogether how we get messages sometimes. They just come. But all I can tell you, and a lot of times when we get them like that, I don't get a whole lot with it. You get to reading and studying, digging this and that and another, and you try to figure out just what it is that the Lord might have you to say or to do. But then this scripture is real, and this scripture was true, and he wanted to know if the people that dwelled in the land, whether they dwelled in tents or whether they had strongholds. Now, if you can go and read back in the scriptures, and you'll find that it was a common thing for a city, for the most part, to have a stronghold, or they were a fenced city, or they were like a fortress. In other words, they depended on that of the fence or the wall or the fortress to keep them in safety. Can I say that? I guess. But for the most part, they had their strongholds in caves and dens and things of that nature. And that's where they was built. They was built inside of the mountain, my friend. And they'd use those places. If the enemy would come after them, they'd get in the strongholds and they'd fight them from there. Now you go on and you'll find in the scripture the time that Saul had went after David, my friend, that David found many strongholds to hold him and his men up while Saul searched for them. He most certainly did. You'll find one in particular, brethren, that was said it was a cave or a den, and said that it was kept down there, my friend, and it had an opening at both ends. You'll find the time that Saul was after David, my friend, and Saul was in one end of this stronghold, and David was in the other, and all his men. The Bible says during the course of the night that David got up, went down, and cut a little piece of the garment of the skirt off of that of Saul. And Saul had no knowledge, my friend, that David was that nigh unto him. He is hunting him. He is going to kill him. Yes, he was. Why, preacher? Because of jealousy. Exactly. The kingdom had been rent from that of Saul, and David had been anointed to be king, and Saul hunted him just like you'd hunt game, my friend. Yes, he did. Looked for him everywhere. Went around everywhere. Bible says that the next morning that Saul and his men had got up and went down the mountain. They was in the valley down there, and David cried out and said, O King, my friend, and waved the skirt, my friend, that he had of Saul. He could have killed Saul. He could have done away with Saul. But David would not stretch his hand against the Lord's anointed. No, he wouldn't. Bible said his heart smote him because he even cut the piece of garment off his skirt. Strongholds. Brethren, they is used, and you'll find that the first city that the children of Israel went through, Canaan, was Jericho, and it was a great wall city. Yes, it was. They used it as protection. Brethren, they depended on their strongholds that they might survive today. We know what happened to Jericho. Do we not? Brethren, the walls came tumbling down. Did they not? Every one of them fell, except, brethren, where Rahab lived. Whoa! Brethren, that wall that they had for a stronghold, brethren, it crumbled when God got a hold of them. Preacher, you say as the children of Israel, what'd they do? What'd they do? They blowed horn. Did they not? Marched around the walls of Jericho one time a day. And only the ram's horn blowed. They never opened their mouth. That was the commandment. On the seventh day, they marched seven times. Listen. And the seventh time, he told them to shout. Shout! Brethren, God caused the walls to come tumbling down. It might seem strange today, some of the things that the Lord says for us to do. It might seem strange. I appreciate what Sister Taryn done this morning. Amen. I do. You know, I wonder sometimes if the Lord don't tell us to go just to see if we'll go. Preacher, oh, they got to be something bad before I go. If he tells you to go, you need to go.
Amen.
Use it. It's for your, thank God, livability today. Strongholds. Brethren, this world's building them.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. They're building them. They've got them, this world. This world that me and you live in, brethren, they're building strongholds and they think they're safe, brethren, from all harm today. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Things going on today, my friend. I thought about what Kay said about the young man. Listen, you need to think that you live above such. There's a lot of folks got strongholds, my friend. I'm going to get to the New Testament, God help me. Brethren, it ain't the natural things, brethren, that bring you down. Brethren, the warfare today is not natural, my friend. No, sir. They did. They had them in these days. They had natural warfares. David was probably one of the greatest warriors that's ever been. In the Bible. Listen. The Lord told one of the prophets. He said, you prophesy and tell the people, my friend, I am going to subdue your stronghold. In other words, I'm going to tear them down today. You don't think, my friend, that the mind is a stronghold? You don't think, my friend, that a lot of people says, I've been saved long enough that I won't be guilty of that? Listen. Listen. Your strongholds are going to be pulled down. They're going to be done away with. And the truth of it is, we are the ones that need to bring them down. Listen. Jericho thought they were safe. They did. They thought they were safe. When the Lord got finished with them, they wouldn't none left except Rahab and all them that she had in her house, whoever that was. Them that was in her house were safe. I don't know this morning if I can get around to it or not, but I'm going to try my best, so Lord help me. I'd like for us to look and see, my friend, and just see where it is that our great strength lieth. Where does it lie? Bible says that there was a strong man by the name of Samson. Samson. Brethren, the scripture says that Samson done, he done because God instructed him for the most part. He had an occasion against the Philistines, and Samson, my friend, was the tool that he is going to rid the Philistines. The Bible says that he laid his head in the lap of Delilah. They didn't know. They had no clue where the strength of Samson come from. No, they didn't. The Bible says that he was a Nazarite from his birth. And he was to drink no strong drink. And there are certain meats that he could not eat. And brethren, for his hair, there was not a razor supposed to come upon it. Yes, sir. He had strength with God, my friend, because he kept the Nazarite command. Yes, sir. God used him. Several things did Samson do against the Philistine. I ain't going to get into all of it. But he laid his head. He messed up. The truth of it is, you read about Samson and you'll find out he veered off the road just a little bit over in Gaza. Yes, sir. He still had his strength, but he messed up. The Bible says that he loved a woman of Sorek called Delilah. And he laid his head in her lap. Bible says that the Philistines had got a hold of Delilah and said, "You find out where his strength lies. We'll pay you. We'll pay you for it." They'd gladly pay him for it. Brethren, they had nothing against Samson that worked concerning his strength. Listen, you might be in a situation, brethren, that you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable. You're probably not. I'm just going to be honest with you. You're probably not as strong as you think you are. Preacher, don't preach that. I'm going to preach it. Old J.O. Jarrett used to say, he said, I can't fight the devil. I can't overcome him. He said, but me and the Lord can put him to flight. Me and the Lord. You think you're strong enough to stand. Bible says, let a man take heed lest he fall. When you think you stand. Amen. Let a man take heed lest you fall. It's not our strength this morning. That's not our stronghold. It's not the power that we have within. That's not the stronghold. Brethren, we have strongholds that are not of this world. I'm going to read you some scripture here in a minute. And I want you to listen. I had a funeral. A lot of things. If some of you remember, it's been several months ago, but I preached on suicide. Yes, sir. Listen, there's none of us live above the standards of what comes against us except we lean on God this morning. We have to lean on Him. Our strongholds is not going to make it. Not going to cut the mustard, so to speak. It's not going to make it. Samson laid his head in Delilah's lap. And she began to woo him. And she said, Samson, wherein lieth thy great strength? And he told her, if you'll do this, you'll tie me with this. Said, then my strength will be gone. Well, she tied him, did she not? She cried out and said, Samson, the Philistines be upon you. And he just burst asunder. Well, if you tie me up with seven green withes, new, that didn't work either. After a while, it got a little closer and closer. Did you know that? He said, if you'll tie my hair, weave my hair in the seven strengths, lengths, whatever you call it, said, then my strength will be gone. Brethren, she got close. She got close. That didn't work either. No, Delilah used her cunningness. And she said, you don't love me. If you loved me, you'd tell me. Wherein lieth thy great strength? And he said, never has a razor come upon my head. Huh? The Bible says that she knew that he had told her his heart. It ain't hard to figure out this morning when you ante up. Do you know that? Strongholds. I don't know. This morning you might say, preacher, I ain't got none in my life. Well, we fix and find out. There's things going on in this world, my friend, that people are using as strongholds. But they ain't going to work. They ain't going to work. The scripture says that they shaved his head. She cried out and said, Samson, Philistines, be upon thee. And he shook himself as he did before, but his strength was gone. Gone. Listen. Now I know that the scripture says they took him. Listen. They took him. And they made sport with him. He had killed a lot of Philistines. He had done away with a lot of Philistines. He had. But brethren, it Bible says they played sport with him. They plucked his eyes out. Could not see. And the Bible does say, and his hair began to grow. But that ain't the reason his strength returned. It's pretty plain. Bible says that while they was having a feast day, that he had someone to get him to the pillars. And he put his hands out against the pillars. And he cried out to God and he said, God, give me this strength one more time. Huh? And he did. God gave him the strength. Bible says that there was more Philistines slew that day than he slew all his life. Listen, your strongholds going to be tore down. Your stronghold. I can't help. I really can't. You might think today, well, preacher, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, you fix and find out. There's things, my friend, that we as people, we think we have to accept today because the world says it's okay. We have to accept it. There's things in your individual life that you have been taught all your life that you have ignored, and brethren, you've got you a stronghold that you think cannot be tore down. God help us. God help us. Bible says, it says, I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, I believe, the 10th chapter. I'm going to read you just a verse or two, if I may. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you that by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we see that we're not warring, my friend, against carnal, fleshly things. But our warfare has become spiritual. Our warfare, my friend, he says that it's mighty through God, he says, to the pulling down of strongholds. The pulling down of strongholds. What that means, my friend, is where you've got your trust And where you've got your safety, my friend, plugged in, that's going to be pulled down because it's spiritual warfare and not a carnal warfare. It makes no difference, your carnal standing, your natural standing. Brethren, but it does make a difference how you stand between you and God. And that, my friend, puts you on a spiritual level. He said, casting down the imaginations, bringing them down, doing away. You say, preacher, I ain't got no imaginations. The truth of it is, in your mind, my friend, you think you're safe, but in your heart, you know you're wrong this morning. Amen. Yes, you do. You're building up strongholds. This world has tried to push some things on us and are pushing things upon us. But brethren, the truth of it is, if you're a child of God, you know they're wrong. You know they will not stand. You know that the world might hold them as high, but brethren, they mean nothing to your spiritual livelihood. I would to God this morning, I really do, that we'd submit ourselves unto God. The Bible says you submit yourself unto God, and what? Then He'll exalt you in due season. But they've got to be some submittance. Everything's not accepted in God's eyes today. No, it's not. Not everything. I can't help what people tell you. These people today, my friend, that have you to believe that red is a different color. Do you know that? They are. There's folks, my friend, that tells us, brethren, what we ought to do and what we ought to follow after. And brethren, it has no spiritual vitamins in it. The truth of it is, it'll damn your soul. Preacher, are you sure about that? He said, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the imaginations. Listen, that's something that we have to do. That's something that we have to undertake. It's a spiritual warfare. There's some things that we don't need to let entertain us as children of God. Bible says that He sent out the spies. You know, I read it to you. He sent out the spies and He said, you find out what kind of land it is. You find out how they're living down there. You find out whether they're weak or whether they're strong. You find out whether there's a few of them or there's many of them. And by the way, bring some fruit. Bring some fruit. Now I'm going to say this. Brethren, if there was ever any evidence that there is a fruitful land, they brought back fruit. One cluster. One cluster of grapes, my friend, that was between two of them on a staff. That tells me that's a pretty large cluster of grapes. Wouldn't you? But they brought back the evidence. I'm not going to preach on evidence again, I don't think. But the truth of it is, they need some evidence. Do they not? They needs to be some evidence from us, my friend, that we are who we say we are. Yes, sir. Do you know they saw down there when they come back, 12 of them. They was 10 of them that come back and said, we can't do it. We can't overcome them. They're giants. And it says, we be as grasshoppers in our own sight compared to them. We be like grasshoppers. Though Caleb spoke up, him and Joshua, it does not say in the scriptures who brought back them cluster of grapes, but I've often wondered if it wasn't Joshua and Caleb. They're the only two. Caleb spoke up and he says, by our God, we're well able to overcome them. By our God. There it is. By our God. There's some things in our life today that we ought to put on the shelf. There's some things in our life today spiritually that we ought to bury. Get rid of it. Brethren, all it's doing is weighting you down on your journey. It's a stronghold to you. You get that? It's a stronghold. It's a safe place. It's a safe place. There's nothing wrong. Not anything. There's nothing wrong, my friend, with having confidence in man. But you need to have your trust in God. He's the one that'll absolutely deliver you. Man will let you down. Some way, form, or fashion, he'll let you down. Maybe not even meaning to, but he'll let you down. But God won't. God won't. Bible says that, anyway, the ten's report, they give the report, and the people believed them. Did they not? And the Lord told Moses, he said, you tell them that they're going to wander in this wilderness for 40 years. 40 years in this wilderness. Not going to get out of this wilderness. They was several times, they was right in the edge, my friend. 2 or 3 days' journey would have been in Canaan. But they wandered. They couldn't find it. They didn't know which way to go. There was several times that they come past the mountain over there, just round and round, round and round. Moses spoke up and he said, turn you northward. You've come past this mountain long enough. You've been here long enough. Why wouldn't you turn northward? Why wouldn't you get rid of the stronghold that's in your life? Something, my friend, that you've put a lot of confidence, or something you've put all your safety and all your peace, my friend, in, and it's not of the Lord. Need to get rid of it. Need to bring it down. Need to cast it out. Need to get to the place that you can hear when the Lord speaks to you. When he says go, you'll be able to go. When he says stay, you'll be able to stay. When he teaches you, my friend, that you're going the wrong way, turn around and go the right way. But you'll never do it as long as you've got strongholds in your life. I know it ain't a shouting message. You don't have to tell me. And I know that it might seem like it's hard to understand, but there's a reason There's a reason, my friend, that he told them people to search out what kind of people they were and whether or not they dwelled in tents or strongholds and what they used them strongholds for. Mike, come get a verse of a song. That's going to be the message. Paul said to the Corinthians, because some of them thought that he was warring after the flesh and walking after the flesh. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Listen, are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down of strongholds. Casting down the imaginations. He says the imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I'm going to say this. That's a pretty large task. That's a pretty large task. Casting down the imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against God. Listen. And bringing every thought. Every thought into the captivity. Captivity, my friend, to where God can deal with you, where God can talk to you, where God can speak and you can hear Him. Preacher, I don't know that any of that applies to me. Well, I would say this morning that it all applies to all of us. There's things in our life that we lay hold of and they become our strongholds. We need to get rid of them. Our dependency upon God ought to be 100%. Preacher, you ain't living in this world. Yes, I am. And you are too. Your warfare is not a fleshly, carnal warfare. It is a spiritual warfare this morning. I'm glad that God gives us the tools, my friend, to work with, don't you? While we stand, sing a verse of some song.